Well, amen. Praise the Lord for his blessings, and praise the Lord for his goodness. I'm thankful for songs like that that point us to his goodness, and certainly our minds are on being thankful right now. We just come through Thanksgiving, and isn't it awesome just to think about what God has done for us, and we ought to praise him every day, and I'm so grateful for that. Thankful for our college students being home for a few days and ministering to us. I know some sang on Wednesday night and then tonight. Many of them will be traveling back tomorrow. And I stand as one of those parents now asking you to pray for them because I know what it's like to send them off and pray that the Lord gives them safety. I know how I drive, and so I also understand how my son may drive. So you be praying for them, and yeah, the Lord will give them safety as they head back to school tomorrow, and it's always good to have them home. So praise the Lord for that. If you take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy this evening, 1 Timothy in chapter 2, and I appreciate Pastor giving me the opportunity to preach this evening. And in praying, the Lord brought me to this passage here. And I want to be able to just hopefully be an encouragement to you tonight. Paul is writing to Timothy here, and he's dealing with the subject of prayer. Isn't prayer a wonderful thing? And the ability that we have to speak to God. And so if you found your place in 1 Timothy chapter 2, I invite you to stand this evening as we read the Word of God. We're going to read verses 1 down through verse 6. And then we'll get into the preaching of God's Word. Paul would write to Timothy here in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. He says this, "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications and prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that they may lead, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." Verse 4 says, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." That's the heart of our Savior there, that all mankind would come to know him. And that's his desire. The Bible says in verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." I want to focus on those words that Paul says, "I exhort, therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." Let's pray, and then you can be seated. Lord, as we come before you tonight, we're grateful for your goodness, Lord. Lord, as we're reminded tonight, first of all, of our need for you. We have a need for you in every hour that we live. And Lord, we're grateful for the gift of prayer that you've given to us to help us to communicate with you. And Lord, to let us give you our needs. And then, Lord, we're mindful tonight, as this special was just saying, of your goodness in our lives and how, Lord, we ought not to cease to praise you. And Lord, I pray as we gather tonight, as we come apart and, of course, have just come through Thanksgiving, Lord, that our minds are mindful of what you've done for us. And yet the reminder of the passage of Scripture tonight is, Lord, we need to pray. We need to spend time with you. And I pray that you help me to communicate that thought tonight. I pray for every person that has come here tonight that is seeking something, Lord. I pray that you'd give them exactly what you would have them to take home with them tonight. Lord, please help me. Help me to communicate your word. And Lord, would you please meet with us tonight? In your name I pray. Amen. And you can be seated. Paul, of course, is writing this book to Timothy, and he's really a mentorship type of relationship. Paul is an older man. Timothy is a younger man. And here in this passage, he presents a powerful truth of the importance of prayer in the believer's life. And how, what a powerful tool that God has given to us. And I want you to stop and think just for a moment tonight before we really get into the message of what prayer really is. It's going to the throne room of God Almighty, the creator of this world, who spoke this world into existence. And God says, "I want you to come to me. I want you to pray to me." And he's given us a powerful gift of prayer. And so Paul says this. He says, "I exhort, therefore." And so we already understand that this thought is building off the first chapter, in which, as we go back and look at the first chapter, we won't spend much time there. But I want to just kind of point out the background of this passage. Timothy, as a young man, has been left in Ephesus. He's there to be pastoring the congregation. And I want you to understand that would have been a very daunting task for him. Ephesus was a very worldly place, and so he was there pastoring the congregation. There was a lot of pressure. Pastor mentioned tonight, as Brother Buddy's getting ready to take a church in Texas. There's no doubt a pressure that lies on the shoulders of a pastor. And so Timothy is here as a young man, and he's there. He's been left in Ephesus to pastor the congregation, and Paul would wisely exhort Timothy in the powerful practice of prayer. Timothy, you need prayer. You need to go to God in prayer. You need his help for what God is calling you to accomplish there in Ephesus. I was doing a little just study of the words that are here in this passage, and in chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul uses that word. Of course, it's translated into the English, exhort. Noah Webster said this: the primary sense of exhort seems to be to excite or to give strength. Think about that tonight. As Timothy would look around and he'd see maybe this need over here and maybe this burden over here, this pressure of pastoring, he would need to be excited and strengthened in the power of prayer. I exhort, therefore, you ought to be excited and strengthened. Listen, I come to you tonight and I want to just help you to realize that all of us carry burdens and pressures as we live this life, don't we? We go through difficult situations, and yet I want to remind you tonight, we can be excited and we can be strengthened through the power of prayer. What God desires to do in our lives, because listen, we're not going just to an earthly king and bringing our petitions and our requests before him. We're going to the King of all kings, that with all authority, and he with all power and all ability. And we ought to be excited and strengthened tonight to know that we can go before God and pray before him. What a powerful thought. I exhort therefore that Timothy would be excited and strengthened in the power of prayer. And certainly Timothy would need to pray, as he had a lot he was dealing with in Ephesus. Go back to chapter 1 very quickly, and I want to just give you a couple things. We find in verse 3 that Timothy was combating false doctrine. The Bible says in verse 3, as I thought, besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Within the church that Timothy was pastoring, there were those that were trying to rise up and teach false doctrine. And Timothy would need to pray, and he would need God's help as he dealt with those things. In verse 4, we find that he was dealing with those trying to distract him from his main duty, which was to preach the word. The Bible says in verse 4, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. We find that he was dealing with distractions. Can I remind you tonight, in the United States of America in 2022, those that are laboring for God are possibly dealing with more distractions today than ever before. All these things are going on all around us. And listen, not only do we have just the distractions of media and the distractions of the news, but there are those that would try to keep us from doing what God has called us to do. We need to go to God in prayer to fight distractions. But then we find here in this passage that not only is he dealing with these things, verse 18 reveals that he's literally dealing with warfare. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Can I tell you, possibly the greatest indicator that we need to pray is that we are in spiritual warfare and it's all around us. We don't have the ability tonight to see the spiritual world that is all around us tonight, but you know as well as I do, we're doing spiritual battle, aren't we? Many of you have done spiritual battle and just preparing to come to church today. I mean, the devil is always at odds with our soul, and he's trying to fight against us. And so not only is Timothy dealing with false doctrines that are in the world that are trying to creep into the church, the devil has distracted many, and so he's dealing with the distractions. But really, when it comes down to it, Timothy is dealing with spiritual warfare. And Paul says, Timothy, I exhort, therefore, these are the reasons why you need to pray. Because of all the things that you're dealing with. And I would just remind you tonight, Christian, these are the reasons why we need to pray. We can't live this life in our own strength. We can't do it in our own power. And as the Sunday school lesson this morning was on the source of power that the Christian has in their own life, listen, may we never try to teach a Sunday school class, or may we never try to sing a special or do anything for the cause of Christ in our own strength. We need his help, and we need his power in our lives. We must be dependent upon him as we battle here on this earth. Listen, don't fight the devil in your own strength. Don't labor for God in your own strength. Warren Wiersbe said this, when a local church ceases to depend on prayer, God ceases to bless its ministry. Everything that we do here ought to be bathed in prayer. Every time you get in front of little children to begin to give a Bible lesson, listen, you're not just giving a talk to them. You're doing spiritual battle. It needs to be bathed in prayer. You say they're just little children. It doesn't matter. Can I tell you? It matters greatly to God. We're doing battle. And so we find in Timothy's life, as he's dealing with all these things, there was a lot of potential discouragement for Timothy. I would dare say, as a pastor, there's a lot of potential discouragement. And for a church member, there's a lot of potential discouragement in this life. But Timothy was to be encouraged and excited and strengthened by the powerful potential of prayer. Paul wanted him to be exhorted by that. In fact, we also understand this. Paul himself was a product of prayer. Just think about that for a minute. As Paul's addressing Timothy, he's now mentoring Timothy, and yet Timothy was aware of Paul's past. In fact, the first occasion we see Paul in Scripture, he's an eyewitness to Stephen praying to God. In fact, I want you to go back to Acts chapter 7, because I think it's important for us to see how prayer literally changed Paul's life. And so we find in Acts in chapter 7, Stephen is there and he's preaching to the religious leaders. And I mean, Stephen is not holding back. He's in the power of the Holy Spirit. And God is using him mightily, and conviction has fallen upon them. And the Bible says in verse 54 of Acts chapter 7, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And I want you to just stop and think about that scene that was playing out there. Here is Stephen. He's getting ready to draw his last breath here on this earth. He's getting ready to die a martyr's faith, and we just see the grace of God all over him. And I'm so thankful that he was full of the Holy Spirit and full of the Holy Ghost, because Paul is standing there. He's Saul of Tarsus, and he's watching someone. And listen, he's right now seeing real faith in action. And he watches Stephen as Stephen begins to describe what he's seeing. He says, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. What an incredible scene that Stephen would have beheld that day. I'll just say to you this evening, that's dying grace right there, that God would give to him. But notice the Bible says, he would say this, I see the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and they stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, watch this, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Just a simple prayer. A prayer of faith to God. The Bible says in verse 60, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Can I tell you tonight, Stephen's final words were a simple yet powerful prayer that changed the trajectory of Paul's life. Paul would help Timothy to understand, listen, prayer changes lives. Paul's testimony was that a simple yet powerful prayer had changed the very trajectory of his life. Where Paul went from being the person who attacked Christians to the one who was leading the charge for Christ. Can I tell you tonight, Timothy would need to be reminded that prayer changes people's lives. He's pastoring there, and he would need to remember that God can use prayer in people's lives. So while the task of pastoring in Ephesus was a huge thing, before he could do anything else, Timothy was to begin in prayer. Paul says, first of all, start in prayer. Can I tell you tonight, that's where each of us need to start. If God calls you to do something, we don't need to get after it until we have spent time with God in prayer. Lord, direct me. We need to start every day of our lives in prayer. Lord, help me. Direct my steps. John Bunyan said this. He said, you can do more than pray after you have prayed. But you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. He says, listen, start in prayer. There are a lot of things you can do after you spent time with God in prayer, but there is nothing that you should do until you've spent time with God in prayer. We attempt to labor for God, and we attempt to do things for God. And I would just remind you tonight, church, that before we do anything else, may we spend time with God in prayer. He would go on to say, pray often, for prayer is a shield to the soul, a sacrifice to God, and a scourge to Satan. Can I tell you tonight, you may be facing a difficulty. You may be facing a major decision. Maybe a season of suffering, a major need. And I would just remind you, there are many things you can do after you have prayed. But do not do anything until you have prayed. And so we have this exhortation from the Apostle Paul to Timothy. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, Timothy, begin in prayer. I want to go through these verses here that we just read tonight. I want to just kind of walk through this passage and try to make some application if we can tonight. And so I just jotted down a few things. So first of all, I want you to see here in this passage, notice that Paul gives Timothy the framework for our prayers, the frame by which our prayers should be built. He says in verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, Timothy, these things ought to build your prayers. He says supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. Paul helps us to realize those things that would make up the believer's prayer. And I won't spend a lot of time going through these, but I want to just mention them briefly. The first thing is that of supplications. A supplication is a petition or a prayer request. It's a need that we have that we're to take to God. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, it reminds us that we are to let our request be made known unto God. Isn't it wonderful tonight that God desires to hear from you? God desires to hear the things that are going on in your life. You say, Brother Andy, God already knows what's going on in my heart. I understand that. But he still wants to hear from his children. I think about my own children. Oftentimes, I can somewhat sense what's going on in their own lives. I can sense sometimes when they have a need. But as a loving father, I desire that they come to me and say, Dad, can you do something about that? Why? Because as an earthly father, I love my children. I want a desire to meet their needs and to help them. I just want to remind you about our Heavenly Father who loves us so much more than I could ever love my own children. He desires that we bring our petitions and our requests to him. God desires to hear from us. I would remind you tonight, it's okay to share your heart with God. We don't have to go into the throne room like we have it all together. Because God knows we don't have it all together. And it's okay to go to the throne room and say, Lord, I'm kind of a mess here. I need your help. These are my needs. These are my petitions. These are my requests. And so he says, Timothy, you can take your supplications before God. And no doubt there were many petitions and prayer requests that Timothy had. But then he says this. Prayers, not only supplications, but prayers. I would remind you tonight that prayers carries it with this idea of worship. And can I tell you tonight that prayer is an act of worship? I'm bowing down before someone who has a greater, far greater ability than myself. I'm coming to the throne room. I'm bowing before the God of all ages. It's an act of worship. I found in my own life, it helps to put me in the proper frame of reference, at least in the mornings when I do my morning prayer time, to get on my knees and bow down before God. I'm not saying that's something that you have to do, but it certainly has helped me in my mind to be able to understand this is who I am praying to. I'm bowing down before the King of all kings. And so prayers are an act of worship. By praying to God, we're acknowledging who he is and acknowledging his ability and his power. And then he says this, intercessions. Intercessory prayers are prayers for other people. Can I remind you tonight that you have no ability to change or fix anybody else? But God can change them. And God can fix them. Sometimes we see someone in need and our heart goes out to them and we want to do so much for them and yet we're limited in our ability to help them. But I want to remind you, your prayers on their behalf are very, very powerful because they go to a God who is full of power. Sometimes, can I tell you, we try to fix someone. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a child. We try to fix them. We try to change them. Someone might get into a dating relationship and try to fix somebody or change somebody. And here's what happens. When we can't fix them, when we can't change them, what happens? We grow frustrated, don't we? But God can change them. And God can fix them. There may be a family member today that you're burdened for, or someone in your life that you're thinking about tonight, and you're wondering, will God ever get a hold of their heart? I would just say this, keep on praying for them. Intercessory prayers. And then giving of thanks. It's the idea of praise or gratitude. Can I tell you tonight, praise to God should accompany our prayers to God. Just stop and think about how good God has been in your life. Sometimes all we do is bring needs before God, and we never give him thanks. We never give him praise. And Paul wanted Timothy to help him to realize, listen, when you're praying to God, bring thanks to God. I remember as a kid, my mom made me write thank you notes. And I, as a kid, didn't particularly enjoy that practice of writing thank you notes. But she was very serious about it. And I mean, she stayed on me until it got done. And so if someone would give me a gift, my mom worked for American Greetings, the card corporation, when I was a kid. Our basement looked like American Greetings store. I mean, there was all kinds of cards and thank you notes. So I never had any excuse not to write thank you notes. But I remember someone would give me a gift and my mom would say, you know what you're going to do, right? Yeah, I'm going to write a thank you note. But I think about that because, listen, the act of writing a thank you note ingrained in my mind an attitude of gratefulness. It was an acknowledgement that someone had done something for me. And I would just say tonight, a powerful spiritual discipline is remembering to return thanks to God for his goodness in my life. Listen, we pray all the time, God, would you help me? When God answers that request, when God moves, take the time to give him thanks. Take the time, spend time with him. A powerful spiritual discipline as you're going through your prayer time and in your prayer closet would just be to spend some time reflecting on God's goodness for your life. Reminding yourself of some of the things that God has done to you. Remember to return thanks for answered prayer. And so Paul gives to Timothy this framework, if you will, of these four things that should be included in our prayers. And really, we could break them down by this, by saying prayer is simply acknowledging God, asking God, and thanking God. Lord, I acknowledge who you are. These are my needs. These are my requests. Lord, I thank you for what you have done and what you will do in my life. And so we first of all see the framework of our prayers. Secondly, would you notice the subject of our prayers? For whom are we to pray? Paul helps Timothy to understand this, that prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. Paul would help Timothy to realize no one is outside the power of a believer's prayer. Isn't that a wonderful thought tonight? That all men are subject to God. That God desires to do a work in the hearts and lives of all men. Again, tonight, some of you here are burdened about someone in your family member, a family member. Some are burdened about a friend, someone in their life. Can I tell you that God desires to work in their heart and their life? In fact, we find in verse 4, the Bible says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? It's God's will that they would get saved, and God is working their life. In fact, the Bible says in verse 5, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And so God is not only caring about their soul, but he's actively working in their heart and in their life. And he reminds us, listen, our responsibility is to pray to him. Go to him on their behalf. Paul would tell Timothy, pray for all men. There's not anyone out there that's outside of the help of a believer's prayer. That all men are subject to God. And then Paul narrows it down in verse 2 to this thought. He says, for kings and for all that are in authority. He says, not only are we to pray for all men, but we're to pray for those that have earthly kingship here in this world. That are in a place of civil government. Can I remind you tonight, you're to pray for your politicians. You say God could get a hold of the heart of a politician? And he could. God could change their heart. God could do a work in their life. The Bible says that we're to pray for those that are in authority, kings and all that are in authority. Can I tell you, it's important for us to understand the background of what was going on politically in the world in which Paul and Timothy were living in. Paul would pen these words during the reign of the Emperor Nero. In fact, some believe that the book of 1 Timothy was written somewhere between 64 and 65 AD. And if you do a little look into history, you'll find that in 64 AD, Nero began persecuting the church. He began to bring a full onslaught against the church. And so Paul is writing to Timothy in the midst of Nero beginning his persecution of Christians. And we understand there's a major threat going on. And Timothy's wondering, what's happening here? And Paul would simply come to Timothy and say, listen, you need to pray for the king. You need to pray for the one that's in charge. Paul would remind Timothy that prayer is powerful and can change the heart of the king. Perhaps some thought an overthrow or rebellion is what we need. If we could just rise up against Nero, maybe we could overpower him and maybe we could take him over. Maybe that would fix things. Maybe Timothy even thought, well, if we had a new king or a new government, maybe that would fix things. If only someone besides Nero was on the throne, things would be different. And Paul exhorts Timothy, listen, you don't need a different king. You just need to pray to the King of all kings. You need to bow down before him. It's not about who sits on the throne. It's about who sits on the throne in heaven. Sometimes in our life, we think, well, maybe we can just wait 4 years. We'll get another president, another politician, get another governor, another mayor, whatever the case may be. And we can pray for those things. And we say, you know, we'll just wait this time. And yet I want to remind you, how many realize it doesn't matter who sits in the White House. We still need God's help. We still need pray. And we still need to pray that God can work in the heart of the king. We find here that Paul would tell him, not only are we to pray for all men, but we're to pray for kings and for all that are in authority. Watch this, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. I wonder if when Timothy first received that, he said, Paul, how are we to live a quiet and peaceable life when persecution against the church is coming on us? When we're dealing with a very real threat in persecution. And yet I want to remind you tonight that Paul would tell Timothy our prayer life has the ability to provide a quiet and peaceable life. Because listen, sometimes we miss the point of praying. We feel our prayers are to move God to do what we desire for him to do here on this earth. And we go to God and we say, God, would you move in this situation? And would you do a work in here? And listen, that's fine. But can I tell you the point of prayer is not to get God to do what you want, but it's to get your eyes off of what's going on over here. And what's going on over here, and to get your eyes on him. To remove our eyes from the threat of an earthly government. How can we live a quiet and peaceable life in 2022 when we have this politician that wants to take our country in this direction and this politician over here? Listen, as a believer, I'm not really that concerned what's going on over here. Oh, I need to labor and I need to be involved and I need to get involved in the process and vote and do those kind of things. But I want you to understand, my eyes ultimately need to be on God. Amen. The one who works in my behalf. If I prayed really hard, will that create a government I agree with so that I can live a quiet and peaceable life? Probably you'll never agree completely with government. If I pray really hard, will that change the heart of the president? Well, it might. But it will put our eyes on an all-powerful God. Who ordains authority? Can I tell you the reason a president sits in the White House is because God has given them that authority, which means that my God has all authority. The reason Nero sat on a throne and was the emperor there in Rome is because God had allowed a position of authority for Nero. We find that an all-powerful God ordains authority. He holds the heart of a king in his hand. God ordains earthly government. The Bible says that he promotes and judges. He sets up one and puts down another. That's what God does. You see, it doesn't sometimes matter too much who's sitting over in this position of authority when we realize who's sitting in the position of authority in our lives. And we can go to the throne room and pray for the kings that we may live a quiet and peaceable life. If I pray, will it remove all of my problems? I wish we could say that, but it will direct you to the God of peace. Can I tell you, as we pray, we can live a quiet and peaceable life. Why? Because peace isn't the absence of problems. It's the presence of God in our lives. You're never going to get to a point in your life in which there's no problems. As long as we're here on this earth, we're going to deal with difficulties and we're going to deal with earthly governments and earthly authorities. And we're going to deal with situations and seasons of suffering. And so, listen, peace isn't the absence of problems, but it's the presence of God in our life. How do we have the presence of God in our life? We go to him in prayer. And so Paul would tell Timothy to pray. Start with prayer. And then to pray for all men, especially those that are kings, those that are in authority. And finally, number three tonight, we notice the result of our prayers. What's the result of our prayers? Well, the first thing can I point from this passage is this, that the Lord is pleased when we pray. Look what he says in verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. That we would come to him. This is what God finds is good and acceptable. It's obedient to pray to God. I love what Matthew Henry said. He said, that which is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, we should do and should abound in. Listen, when God very clearly puts something in Scripture this plainly to help us understand a practice that we should be involved in, every one of us ought to be people of prayer. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. I want you to go over to Matthew chapter 6. I want you to see this passage. Of course, you're probably familiar with it, and Jesus is speaking in the Sermon on the Mount here. And he says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, speaking to his disciples, he says, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Those that pray for a show, listen, their reward is that other people look at them and say, what a spiritual person that person is. And that's it. That won't do you a whole lot of good, I'll just tell you that. Compliments can come and go. They go a lot quicker sometimes than they come. And so we understand this tonight. If we're praying to be seen of men, that's our reward. But look in verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Can I tell you, there are rewards that God gives to us here on this earth simply for obediently praying to God. Not necessarily making a show of it, but just being a person of prayer. By the way, I was just reminded as I was thinking about this tonight, we might be surprised in heaven at some of the true prayer warriors one of these days. Those that just quietly throughout their life slipped into their prayer closet and prayed, just like Paul is telling Timothy to pray over and over again. And listen, here on this earth, they may not have gained much stature, but with God in heaven, they gained a whole lot of stature. Just by faithfully praying over and over. Can I tell you, tonight, we're reminded in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 to pray without ceasing. And so tonight, we see the result, first of all, of praying is this, that God is pleased when we pray. But secondly, and very quickly, and we'll be done here in just a few moments, we find here in this passage of 1 Timothy chapter 2 that when we pray to God, our heart is aligned with his heart. Look what he says in verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Listen, when we pray and when we spend time with God, our heart is aligned with him, which helps us to focus on that which is most important. What's most important is that this world would come to the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. And as we go through this life, that God is working on our behalf. God's heart is that all would come to a place of repentance. Can I tell you tonight that God loves all of mankind? God loves that coworker that gives you problems. God loves him and desires to see him saved. God loves the king who desires to persecute Christians because God desires to save him. And God loves the politician that introduces legislation which goes against God's word. God loves him and desires to see him saved. That's God's heart for mankind. His will is for all to be saved. And sometimes tonight, can I tell you, our prayer is this: God, move the way that I desire. Lord, would you remove this person from leadership? Would you remove this boss who's giving me a hard time at work? Would you give me a different boss? Would you remove this situation in my life? And my question is this: what if he's working in your life to bring somebody else to the knowledge of the truth? What if the reason he puts you under that cruel boss is that you'd be a testimony for what God desires to do in that person's life, and that's to save them? What if he allowed that season into your life so that others would be saved? You say, Lord, why did I have to go through this season of suffering? Why did we have to go through this situation? And listen, I'm reminded tonight that it's never just about you. God is always working in your life so that others will come to the knowledge of the truth. And we find that God is at work. And can I tell you tonight that when we pray and when we come to God and when we seek his will, it helps to align our heart with his heart. It's no longer about the things that I desire to see done here on this earth. It's about seeing his will done here on this earth. Can I tell you tonight, the purpose of prayer is not to get man's will done in heaven, but to get God's will done on earth. That we would go to him. And listen, it wouldn't be that I'm trying to move God towards my will. No, I'm trying to align my heart with what God desires to do. Prayer aligns our heart to God and reveals to us what's most important. So Timothy, there he is in Ephesus. He's a young man. And he's dealing with some of the inside pressures within the church. He's also dealing with some outside pressures there in Ephesus. And not only that, he's engaged in spiritual warfare. He's realizing, listen, there's some persecution that is going to come upon the church. And so we have all these things going on. So Paul wants Timothy to be exhorted or to be excited and strengthened in what prayer can do in his life, that he'd spend time with God. And I realize tonight that I'm here addressing Christians that are dealing with battles all around us. I mean, you're going to go to work tomorrow and face some battles. You're dealing with family members, and maybe there's some battles that you're facing right now. And I would just remind you that if we could just be exhorted or excited and strengthened in what God can do as we go to him. Maybe it is a family member. Can I tell you, keep on praying for him. Maybe it's a situation at work. Keep on praying. Keep going to the throne of God, not so that you can get God to do what you desire to do, but so that God's will be done here on this earth. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. We are to be exhorted or strengthened and excited in the power of prayer, what God desires to do in our lives. Listen, I don't know what you may be dealing with in your life tonight. I don't know what situation you're facing right now. Maybe there's a decision that needs to be made. Maybe there's a difficulty. Maybe there's a season of suffering. Can I tell you tonight, we need to be reminded of what God can do through our prayers. Here in just a moment, we're going to have a hymn of invitation. And listen, if God is working in your heart tonight, I invite you to simply come forward and just kneel before God in prayer, understanding this is what, God, I desire your will to be done. Lord, would you work in my life? Would you look to my prayers? Lord, as we come before you tonight, we're so grateful, Lord, that you've given us a powerful, powerful tool of prayer. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us as your Christians to take advantage of it. Lord, as we look around, we're dealing with problems all around us. And yet, Lord, we know that you're in charge of all things. And Lord, prayer gets our eyes off of this world and gets our eyes on you. So, Lord, as we do business with you tonight, I pray that you'd help us to make the decisions that need to be made. In your name I pray, amen.